Eric. I mean, I don't want to be overly dramatic here. I think most people would look at this and go, ah, Raptors are favored. But this is a Bucks team that can throw some defense at you, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. You know, I think Jason Kidd brought some of that with him from Brooklyn and from his playing days in that bizarre takeover this past summer with Kidd leaving Brooklyn and going to Milwaukee. And I think they already were one of those teams that kind of had a built-in defensive system, in a sense, because of the core of players that they have, and, you know, most notably a guy like Larry Sanders in the middle, but then the length that they possess at a lot of different positions as well, which gives them a lot of versatility to guard you in different ways with different looks at multiple positions. So I think they're a tough team, and they're a team I think that, you know, you kind of have to watch out for going forward in terms of what they can do in future seasons as they build around that young core. So I'm sitting listening to you, Jeff, and I agree in terms of, you know, the potential for a trap game against the team that is likely better than what their record indicates, or at the very least, they're tougher and they fight you harder. Maybe they definitely don't have enough to be a playoff team, to be a team yet that's going to get over the hump, but they're certainly one of those clubs that can make it tough on you and certainly battle you and not be an easy out.
Milwaukee beat the Brooklyn Nets 122-118 on Wednesday in triple OT. They've won three games in a row. They didn't win consecutive games at all last season, and the Bucks are going after their eighth win tonight. They're 7-5. They didn't get their eighth win last year until January 22nd. So this is, you're right. It's certainly a better team than the Bucks team that the Raptors saw last year. And as if that wasn't enough, Jabari Parker's coming off a season high 23 points, 8 of 13 shooting. Now, admittedly, you play triple overtime. The chances are pretty good if you're Jabari Parker that you're going to get your season high, but he's shooting 55% over his last seven games. He started the year at like 35%. What do we know about Jabari Parker?
I think the fact that he came out of college, and you know, this is maybe sacrilegious to talk about in Canada, but you know, I know we were discussing it last year into the springtime and heading up towards the draft, that a lot of people felt that if you're looking for that guy that's going to have an impact on your team as a scorer, as a pretty good defender, as a guy that's got some length, as an intelligent player, someone that's going to make an impact right away on your team, Jeff, mm-hmm. You go after Jabari Parker. I mean, yep. if you're looking for the potential and the potential superstar, then there's no denying Andrew Wiggins. And I'm not here to criticize Wiggins by any means, but the polished package of Jabari Parker was certainly better suited for making an impact right away in the NBA. And we're seeing it now with Milwaukee. And, you know, it probably turned out well for them. You know, we couldn't have predicted that they'd be 7-5 as you just went through how long it took them last year to win 8 games, to win 10 games, the disappointment that was last season. But had they been in a position to have Andrew Wiggins, I'm sure they would have taken it. But getting a guy like Parker ready to play, you know, coming from a ready-made product in college and boom, plop him right into the NBA and have that type of role right off the bat, I think it was probably the best thing for this organization. They have enough youth. They have enough young players on the team. They started to need some young players that can play. Start sprinkling the right kind of veterans in that system. And again, they're going to be kind of one of those irritating, nasty type of teams. And I think we're starting to see the fruits of that labor right now in the early stages of the season. So I think it's kind of a perfect fit, not only for the organization, having a guy that can, you know, play right away and have an impact, but also for the player himself. You know, I'm sure there must have been, he might never admit it, but must have been at some point a little, you know, thought that crept into his head about going to Milwaukee and, you know, what kind of team are they? And they're coming off a tough year and it's Milwaukee and, what's this going to be like? And all of a sudden now you're playing on a team that's starting to win a couple of games and starting to puff his chest out a little bit, starting to feel pretty good about themselves. And you're a part of that as opposed to languishing on a bad team that's losing every night. And great, you're getting your points and you're getting your minutes, but how much are you truly learning from that experience by just getting, you know, beaten down every single night, like, say, the Philadelphia 76ers? I think this has been a perfect transition for him, and the fact that he's been able to go to a young coach that's recently retired from the league as well, and Jason Kidd, and the ability to learn from him, I think there's a lot of things to like about Parker and his fit with that Bucks team.
Eric Smith joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. The Raptors will play the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. They've got the Cleveland Cavaliers tomorrow. Some numbers about the Toronto Raptors that I find particularly interesting in the fourth quarter. They are averaging an NBA best plus 5.4 points margin in the fourth quarter. They've allowed just 21.2 points per game in the final quarter. They've outscored all but two opponents. They're plus 53 in their last five games in terms of the fourth quarter. And the Bucks are minus 0.6 in the fourth quarter. What is it about this team and maybe Dwayne Casey's understanding of his team that has allowed the Raptors to be such a good fourth quarter team?
I wish I had a great answer for you. And in fact, I was listening the other day when you had Dwayne Casey on. I think you asked him a very similar question. And you even, I think, prefaced it with the fact that, Coach, I don't want to jinx you, but you're also, you know, undefeated when taking that lead to the fourth quarter in your last 30-odd games or whatever. And if I'm not mistaken, the answer he gave you was something along the lines of just a team that doesn't quit and continuing to fight. And I would agree with that assessment. It's clearly the case. I mean, the numbers that you just spoke of, Jeff, you know, tell that story. This team, no matter whether they're up by one or two or down by 10 or 12, they continue to fight in that final frame. And I don't know what it is, though, exactly about why it takes until that final 12 minutes to see the best of the best. You know, we've seen hot starts, but they might peter out in the second or third quarter. We've seen slow starts that, you know, bit a little momentum late second and then into the second half and into the fourth quarter. But I don't know if we've seen yet, outside of maybe the one game, the huge, dominant, disgusting victory over the 76ers, I don't know if we've truly seen a full game from beginning to end. I suppose some people might say the Washington game as well, when you had those back-to-back wins for Washington and Philly. But it seems like it's been you know, an issue for this club for a couple of years now, and it's probably an issue for a lot of teams in the league, not being able to sustain it for a full 48 minutes. So I guess at the end of the day, if you're going to play your best 12 minutes, you might as well make it the last 12 minutes. And some of it as well might come down to the rotation of players, that when the Raptors have gone a little bit smaller late in ball games, they seem to have more success. And that's not anti-Valanciunas or anti-Terrence Ross, if it happens to be Vasquez on the floor with Kyle Lowry, with playing with a two-guard set. You know, I think we just have seen that when the Raptors have the ability to go a little bit smaller and spread the floor that much more, they might give up a little bit defensively. They certainly give up a lot in terms of rebounding, but they could become such a potent offensive team in terms of the way they're able to space things out. I think it becomes a matchup issue for a lot of clubs.
Eric Smith joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Now, the Raps do have Cleveland tomorrow. Cleveland's got a game tonight in Washington. The Cavs are 500. Boy, I mean, Washington and Toronto, that's a pretty tough back-to-back matchup. You throw, it's not a long flight, but you throw the fact that the Cavs are going to be traveling back. What are you expecting tomorrow from the Raptors? And I mean, I'll ask you about the Cavaliers. So I think we all thought that there would, you know, it would take some time for Kevin Love and LeBron and Kyrie Irving to get used to playing with each other. And you know, you've got a coach coming in from Europe or from the Israeli league to kind of take control of things. What are you seeing from the Cavaliers that has surprised you? Because even though I think we all agreed there would be a period of kind of a wearing in or a period of trying to get used to each other, I don't know if we expected it to have the type of lows it's had so far.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we touched on it a little bit last night on the Hoop Show, and one of the points that I know Jonesy was making is, you know, for all the talk, and I've said the exact same thing, Jeff, about the transition that we all expected or anticipated for LeBron and Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving had to have to make, and we saw it in Miami when it took the big three a good 20-25 games to really figure things out, and then fast forward 6 months later, they were in the championship. And one of the points Jonesy was making yesterday on the Hoop Show was that the difference there is that you had, you know, a Chris Bosh who maybe didn't have a ton of postseason success, but he had been to the playoffs. He had tasted the postseason and knew what it took. You had Dwayne Wade with championship experience. He already had a ring on his finger. For right now, for the Cavs, Kevin Love's never been to the playoffs. Kyrie Irving's never been to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got the experience, no doubt, in the championship pedigree of LeBron James, but you've got a lot of inexperience on that team overall, and that might make the transition a little bit longer for that club to try and figure it out. And you know, one of the things I've seen a couple times, and I know I said this in the summertime, and I've taken heat for it from some folks, whether it be on Collins or Twitter or otherwise, that maybe I wasn't giving Kyrie Irving enough love. You know, he's coming off a Rookie of the Year. He's coming off a gold medal. He's a guy that's an all-star. He's got a decorated resume from top to bottom. You name it, he's done it all. But the one question I had was, is he the right guy, the right point guard for this team? Because he's a guy that likes to have the ball in his hands, and as much as he's a good distributor, he likes to shoot, he likes to make decisions, he likes to keep it himself as well. And you're going to have to be the right kind of guy to play alongside LeBron James, who likes the ball in his hands and is arguably a better decision maker and better passer than probably half the point guards in the league. So I think a lot will come down to him. You know, I think it's obvious to say LeBron James is going to get his and figure it out. And at the end of the day, it's up to you to figure out how to play with LeBron. I think Kevin Love is going to get his rebounds, get his offensive, you know, putbacks off offensive glass. He's going to have the ability to stretch it out. He's going to find touches on the perimeter from other bigs that can't cover him. I think he'll be fine. But Kyrie Irving, how can you play within this system and still be effective as a scorer, but knowing that you're also there to distribute and to be the facilitator for a LeBron James, for a Kevin Love, and then the trickle down from there? A guy like Deion Waiters, I mean, he needs to keep his mouth shut and learn how to play, period. Mm-hmm. He's talking too much. But I think a lot of it comes down to Kyrie Irving specifically, and no matter what the resume to this point says, you're still under 22 years old. You had about 10 games of college experience. You've had a lot of success early on in your career, but now you're in the spotlight on the main stage, and you might have to alter your game a little bit to play with LeBron James.